Will you just say, hi, my name is, and how you want to identify?
Hi, my name is, how I want to identify. Hi, my name is Mitch Landrieu. I'm the mayor of the city of New Orleans.
Thank you so much for speaking with me this morning.
You're welcome.
I understand and have been following the story, you know, the reasons for taking these down at night and the security purposes and safety concerns. I want to ask you what that says about what's going on in this city, in this country, that we have to remove the monuments under such circumstances of anonymity.
The reason why we're doing what we're doing and the way we're doing it is being driven directly by security concerns. Because for some reason, where we are in this country with the temperature as high as it is, around so many issues that it's hard to unpeel, that safety concerns have to be paramount. On top of that, in broad context, completely outside of the civil rights context, given all of the incidences that have occurred in the United States of America, from the terrorist attack in Boston, or in San Bernardino, or in Orlando, the police shootings in Dallas, the incidences that happened in Ferguson, the police departments around the country are now much more aware and have to be much more proactive to make sure that we protect everybody, especially when people are exercising their constitutional rights. So when you do a major event like this, and these are major events because these are big statutes that take a lot of equipment and a lot of time. It's not like just taking a flag down a flagpole. When you're executing something like this, you got to be really careful. And so that's really has driven the decisions that I've made about when. I think it's unfortunate, to be honest with you. It would be better if we could do it at a time in a place where, you know, you say in the light of day, where everybody could be there. But if you think about it, one of the other reasons why you do it at night is because this particular monument, as well as the Liberty Monument, are in really congested areas. It was around a bunch of different schools. And so if we would have done it during the day, we would have had to cancel those schools. We would have had to close off routes of people getting in and out of the city. So you do it at a time when it's the most convenient and is the most safe, which is why we're doing it the way we're doing it.
So something else that this process has spawned is the arrival and influx of people from out of town.
Yeah.
And symbols that, you know, frankly, I'm not used to seeing in the city of New Orleans, Confederate flags, Southern nationalist flags. What impact do you think that has on a city that is not exposed to those symbols and the implications of those symbols frequently?
The fact of the matter is, all these pictures that people are seeing, most of those folks are not from here. They're from wherever else they're from. And they're entitled to go back to their hometowns and exercise their constitutional rights and encourage their city council to put up Confederate monuments if they like. And that's fine. But the people of New Orleans have a right to self-determination. That's what democracy is about. And most importantly, and this is why I think most people in America really, really get this, these individuals were being honored for fighting against the United States of America. So this whole notion of patriotism, it's the exact opposite. These Confederate soldiers were trying to destroy the country, not save the country. And we really operate under one flag, not two or three, much less the Nazi flag that was out there the other day. Back in the late 1800s, the mayor at that time, who actually happened to be a Confederate soldier, determined, along with the city council, to allow the Cult of the Lost Cause to put these four monuments up for a very specific purpose, not to honor Robert E. Lee, not to honor Jeff Davis, not really to honor P.T. Beauregard, but to sanitize the Confederacy, and to basically tell a non-truth about our whole history, to send a message to everybody that we're still not going to be part of the United States of America, even though we lost the war. And so now you're many, many, many years later, and a continuous form of government is still in existence. I'm the mayor, we have a city council, and the city is now 67% African American. And as we looked at how to rebuild our city after Katrina, we've rebuilt all of our schools, we've rebuilt our hospitals, we've rebuilt our health clinics, we've rebuilt our parks, we've rebuilt almost everything in the city. Now we're looking at our public spaces and wondering why, in the most prominent spaces in the city, we have these Confederate generals that supposedly represent who we are, and it's incongruous for us. And so the people of New Orleans said, you know, I think that we ought to use those public spaces not as spaces of reverence for a false history, but we ought to use them to really kind of message to the rest of the world who we really are as a people.
So then on that note, you know, in my covering this over the past couple of weeks and talking to the people that are protesting what's going on, how do you respond to the sentiment that the removal of the monuments is erasing history and erasing culture.
You can't remove history by removing a statute. These statutes should always be remembered so that we never ever repeat what happened, but they shouldn't be in places of reverence. Remembrance and reverence are two different things. Remembrance is for museums. And context, so just for example, all of the people that have fronted that argument, the Monumental Task Force, for example, have said, oh, gee, the mayor's terrible. He's trying to erase history. And my question to them is, if they're the stewards of New Orleans history, where's the rest of the history? So I want you to think about this. 1,000 years before we were a city, there were significant civilizations of Indian tribes that were here that have over the years become part of our lore and our music and our architecture. No mention of how it is that we should remember them. We have gone through Plessy versus Ferguson. We've gone through the civil rights movement. We had 504 people that were lynched in Louisiana from the slave market, and then thousands of other people who were hurt. None of these Monumental Task Force people before this moment ever came and said, you know, we really should really curate in our totality all of who we are as a city. What they did was they held to this very narrow recitation of our history that actually happens to be false. And so I think it just requires, especially in the Deep South, as we really think through racial reconciliation and patriotism, that we speak really forcefully and clearly to what the truth is. And here is the truth. The Confederacy was on the wrong side of history. The Confederacy lost the Civil War. The United States won. And that racial reconciliation and diversity is a strength, not a weakness, especially in the city of New Orleans.
You mentioned racial reconciliation, and I wanted to ask you about that because I saw your tweet this morning as I was out there and tweeting and filming myself. And, you know, you made a comment via Twitter about how the taking down of the second of the four monuments to be removed is a march towards reconciliation. And I wanted to ask you what racial reconciliation means for you and how this project fits into a larger plan of reconciliation for the city of New Orleans.
Well, first of all, it's a long march through history. You know, if you're from the South, and truly, too, in the North has its issues as well. You know, those of us in the South get tired of getting beat on from everybody else as though we have all the problems. We don't. We're smart. We're fast. We wear shoes. You know, we go to good schools. We've got a lot going on. And sometimes I feel sorry for the people that don't live in the South because it's a beautiful, wonderful place. But when you think about our particular participation in the institution of slavery and in the institution of the march towards civil rights, we have a special obligation to speak clearly about who we are. And we also have a right to say what we think works for us, and diversity works for us. And so this march towards racial reconciliation started many, many, many years ago. You know, one of the funniest things, and I can't take this, they say, oh, Mitch Landrieu started this. Well, the Civil War is the thing that brought this conflict to resolution. And evidently in the country, we're not anywhere near where we need to be. When President Obama got elected, everybody said, oh, we're going to go into a post-racial America. A lot of us said, man, wait a minute, listen, race is really, really hard. And it's tough for all of us because it dredges up a lot of old things. So we began to kind of think that maybe we were in a post-racial America. And then, of course, we had the recent election, and then we have all of this stuff going on around it. So this is really an accumulation of a lot of stuff. It's about racial reconciliation and not having monuments that are revered when they should be remembered. But it's also really about just curating the entire city and whether the city, the physical structure that invites 12 million tourists here, that's really representative of diversity, whether those statues actually are a true representation of who we are. Those monuments are not just stone. Those monuments actually represent an attitude of exclusion that has caused New Orleans to be less than she could be. And that attitude of exclusion has forced a lot of people to leave the city. It's called the Great Migration. And the numbers are legion of folks, white and black, rich and poor, that have left this town because of that. Now, New Orleans is still one of the most spectacular cities in the world. But the question is, how much better can we really be if we're open rather than closed, if we're inviting rather than exclusive? And it's my opinion, we have a right to determine our future and our fate.
Speaking of opportunity, in terms of what's next, I mean, there's two things going on here, right? There's the two monuments that still have to come down, and then there's what happens to those monuments and what happens to these now pieces of real estate.
Correct.
So can you just speak briefly on the completion of this process and then what you're thinking about for what comes next in place of?
So we got a couple of things. Where are the monuments going to go right now? they're going to go into storage so that we can think about where they have to go to be put in proper context. That's important. The second thing is, as you know, we now have to still take down the other two. And then the third thing is, what goes next? Well, first of all, the Liberty Monument, which was a monument to those honoring those who killed police officers. If somebody wants that, that's fine. But my sense is that statue doesn't have much of a future and is going to stay where it is unless there's a museum that wants it. The other three statues, we're going to listen and talk to folks about what they might want to do and be open to that. But the next thing that happens is, well, what do you put back in the spaces where they are? One of the spaces where Jeff Davis was is really a de minimis space, you know, publicly. And I would hope that something real simple, like an American flag that speaks to our, you know, our commitment to the country would go there. You have two other spaces. One of them is the PGT Beauregard space, which is right in front of City Park, the New Orleans Museum of Art. So my hope with that would be to appoint a commission of individuals or have a group of people to come up with a beautiful piece of public art that reflects the spirit of that particular place, which I think might be a helpful process. And then, of course, the big one is going to be Robert E. Lee. For people who want historical reference, that was originally something called Tivoli Circle that had been there for 150 years before somebody now said, oh, so if you want to, if all the historical people, if you're really being true to your history, it was for a much longer, you know, something very different from what it is today. You know, New Orleans is a place that lives and dies by water. You know, so the idea of a spectacular fountain that has in it public works of art that reflect the totality of our history is something that I think is interesting to a lot of people.
And do you see the last two monuments coming down soon?
Yes. They're all going to come down sooner rather than later. So it's time now. We have been very respectful of the law. We've been very respectful of people's constitutional rights. I invite people to protest, but I don't want there to be any lack of clarity around essentially what this is about. It's a statement from the people of the city of New Orleans at this moment in history that the Confederacy was on the wrong side of history, that the United States of America won that war, that the city of New Orleans has always been a part of the United States of America. We believe diversity is a strength, not a weakness. That is the essential truth that we're trying to tell. And those monuments do not reflect who the people of the city of New Orleans have ever been, who we are today, and who we ever want to be. And that those monuments should be put in a place where they're remembered, but they should never be put on a pedestal to be revered again.
Mayor Landrieu, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you.